Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about information update number 30. Now, these podcasts, I give a general gist for software development that I'm doing behind the scenes to deliver these podcasts and the next generation of tools, which are synthetic podcasts, if you'd like, that is synthesized, put together, a series of multiple choice questions in a radio quiz, private study, classroom test, and the various bells and whistles added added to that. Previously, I talked about the Podomation software, which is allows you to just use the dictaphone, put in your dictaphone, and publish a podcast. It's not too flash. Doesn't have a great audience for it. There's not too many people who are really deeply interested, I expect, about education issues, science issues, software issues. But there are a few, I hope out there. And it's more the thought that there is an audience out there, which gets me thinking and podcasting. And the general gist behind it all is cognitive rehab. This is talking and walking at the same time and putting things together. So let's start off with the first major chunk, which is the actual fundamental podcast software, which allows me to just produce this, publish it, and push it out. I don't know how good that is. I'll have to look into it. But it's a very stable software, very little error. And basically, as it's sped up, I've been able to identify a few seconds here, a few seconds there, just to speed up the actual creation of the actual podcast itself. I've sort of developed that up to a point where you can produce quizzes, a written web multiple choice with it, with a word search to put on for when you're developing a podcast for a specific lesson. But I've then moved on creating quizzes. Now, why would you want to produce a quiz? Well, there's two reasons. One is that that's a specific study resource. It allows the more controlled thing of have you got the right communication across, that is, the question and multiple answers and an explanation of that. Now, structurally, that's got a little way to go as I limber up to get 10 questions in a row and structure those 10 questions such that the explanations fit together like a machine. I've still got to work out the mechanics of that. Now, this particular software, it's got a generalized idea that for the quiz, unlike a lesson, which the actual contents has to actually get devolved into a textbook. The textbook has to be approved, has to go through this, all these processes that a fact may be wrong, but it may be wrong 20, 30, even 100 years ago, gets into the system and slowly percolates up. And it's not that you're teaching it. Every teacher in the state or province is teaching exactly the same misconception. So the idea here is to break this up. And one of the great things is if you've got a misconception, you want to fix it with a minimum amount of fuss. And that means if you've got a series of things, several pages of notes or several pages of a textbook, and you've got an individual fact, you want to take that out. You want to actually isolate that as an atom of an idea and get to edit it. And so this is where I've gone to with the quizzes, that as they're published in their different formats, the actual structure, the basic structure of the quiz is also published, so it allows people to actually see take out the atoms of the quiz and actually tinker with these atoms. And this is a multi-phase process. So I've got the process of the quizzes going out and getting out there. We'll have a look at that. There's some software which I'm going to bring up in the next phase, and the actual software of getting these atoms into order. And so as I put it out, there was a series of minor bugs, and there's some podcasts, Podomation podcasts, Podomation updates, where it's actually quite, there's quite lofty goals. In this particular one, I'll just quickly go through a series of bugs which I've just patched up. Now, the first bug, I suppose, is when producing a quiz, you put in a small block of text. The block of text was being put into a web page. So the block of text had character returns in it. I think it's backslash or forward slash R or N or whatever it is. And it couldn't, that, there's no such thing as a backslash in HTML5. HTML5, you need angle bracket BR, and that will give you a line break. So what I had to do is identify where it's going in, see whether I could put it in as text. No, I had to put it in the file. So the way that I operate is I write a generic file, and for generic content, I have a word, and it then searches for that word and substitutes text in for that word. Now, the issue there is that I had to look for all character returns, and for all character returns, go. Now, this is actually hurts my head a little bit. Just wondering whether I've done this at the right point. Yeah. Oh well, it's turned out okay. Now, a search and replace functionality has fallen apart in LabVIEW. For some reason, the search and replace that I have as from LabVIEW is not working. I've reloaded LabVIEW, redone everything. It's just not working. I've had to write the search and replace myself. So what I've done is search and replaced character return with square brackets, or sort of angle brackets BR in HTML5, which is web languages. So what I submit to it comes out in the web, in the page, in the same format structure that I'm looking for. But it's turned out that that search and replace thing has been a fickle thing to get working. Because what I did was that I searched and replaced a character return with a square bracket, a angle bracket BR, which is a, I suppose, a marked up break, it's called, a markup. It's markup whether you have those less than, greater than symbols. Those less than, greater than symbols are actually used in quantum mechanics, it's the fundamental bra and ket. So it's interesting to see how the process actually works for that. So the bra and ket of quantum mechanics is used again in HTML5. Now, it was an old issue, but what happened is that it hung on an infinite loop. When I said replace the character term with BR markup break plus character return. So when I would inspect it, it would look the same. Of course, what happened is it would go to a point, find a character return, insert a BR and character return, and then search a very short distance up from where the BR was in and find another character return, because I've just inserted a character return to look for it. And so what that meant is that I had to measure, small thing, I had to measure the length of the string I was inserting and getting it to search from after that string. So if that string contained the character, this is sort of a strange thing. So if I'm searching for A and want to replace it with, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something with multiple A's in it. Say I want to replace N with the word attention, and I remove the N and put attention in there. I've just added another N, so I've got to get to search after it. This is just a small thing you wouldn't think about going across. And so that was just measure length of the string, bring it in and add it to the length that you search from through a string to get it all beautifully fixed up. So there's no issue in that. And then the other thing is that I'm producing a series of web pages. There's nothing to produce, absolutely nothing to produce the web page. You get the template web page, and you get your text, and you just get to compose the web page, save the web page up to a file, and then it gets swept up in its upload, and it's just uploaded. So it's just, you put it in a directory, the directories get mothered and put across and eventually put into an upload area. And what had happened is that I had just given it a dumb loop of producing hyperlinks to questions 1 through to 10. But say if there's only 8 questions or 7 questions, I've had to do it at the point at which it counts the number of questions, hook that off to a global variable, which then harks across all programs to the upload or to the web page maker, and just only gets it to go through the process of making 7 hyperlinks or 8 hyperlinks rather than the automatic 10. So that's rather boring, but in a very short time I've actually, I think, fixed up all the shortcomings, and I've tightened up the production of these files. So essentially you read it into an Audacity file in a particular way, and what I'm doing now is sort of getting extended length slightly quicker, making fewer errors, and as you go you label your questions as they go in. Now in the process, so you label them, and then there's a process of pressing Control Shift L, and that will export all of them. And you switch off Audacity's automatic thing when it's saving a file. It'll ask you for cover questions. You can set a tag for that switch off, and that creates a directory. And that directory has to be de-Audacity'd. So Audacity's got this file numbering system, which I suppose I could use as the basis, but I use another one. So there's an Audacity file numbering system, there's a quiz making file system, and there's a quiz archive file system. So for the actual quiz, if it's question 7, I have to be able to call correct answer for question 7, which is just a file name of 7.html, and the incorrect answers is 77 or 777 or 888, sorry, or 3 sevens to get your incorrect answers. So that means that it can go through its big puddle of files. At the point that it's made the quiz, it then divvies up the questions into individual directories, creates a web page for each question, where you can just press on the web page and listen to the audio answer. So what I have to do there is, I don't think I'm going to struggle. I'm going to see at what point I get feedback and how people can operate with feedback. So we're at a few stages now of where I approach the local, not the local, but the... and that's a very difficult sell. I don't quite... Unfortunately, I don't have... haven't got, what I really need is a communicator contact. Someone who can saddle up with me, realize the research I'm doing, and communicate. Because one has to understand that, particularly as you get a bit older, I'm in my 50s, the word can't be done negative thing is just the majority of things. And like I can remember raising venture capital, and you'd be lucky if you spoke to one in 30 people you spoke to were the right people to speak to. And a lot of the time you practice on your pitches on people who are just not going to go. So there's a similar thing here. So I want to build a team up which can form a sort of a network rather than the odd. So if someone phones up and you're there, obviously an individual, the tendency is to knock them back right away. So it's to actually find someone to see if I can get people who are producing radio programs. You've got the voice, the projection, the skill to actually do a quiz. So to try and get a team up between someone who wants to generate the content of the quiz, someone who can develop the quiz, and then put it into content that can publish the quiz. So I have the capability to publish and manage the quiz and quality control. But there are other aspects here. This is people wanting to generate the content and after generating the content, you want to produce it. And so obviously if someone is in the art of producing it, this is sort of a basic assignment thing. You know, can they actually do the little atoms correct and get the atoms correct? And then we have the bigger content, so they have the presence to go ahead. So as I'm saying that, I've got people who I can approach for content, for quizzes, and produce it up here. So it's people who can produce content, people who need to produce, deliver the content, and I can cover the rest. And I suppose they can own it. I suppose what's necessary is that I've got the a suite of basic things, basic text, audio text, and that gets put into it. Now, that's a particular, I can, so there's a library of basic things, question 1, question 30, question 10, for instance, or the number of questions is, or after this, answer that question, the basic instructions which go in amongst the atoms. Now, I produce that for myself, but there's a basic file that you have to produce all of this. And I'm sort of scratching my head how to actually do all that. So someone who takes this engine will not want to use my voice and music in. So you just have to really add those components in to go ahead. So this is at the feed side. So this is just the general production side. There is the quality control side. That's experts who can listen to a comet, and those comets get produced pretty much like a factory's non-conforming product process. So at the moment we can produce state-of-the-art iPhones, medical implants, all things which can go bung, but when they go bung in a way, the information feeds back into the quality of the system. And that's not happening with education. But with this particular system, with things broken up into atoms, you can actually put your content in, people can readjust the atom, and so I've got to do two things, is build something which takes the sprayed out content, reverse engineers it back into the directory. That is the steps that I've taken to take the file which I was producing the quiz. I've broken it up into atoms that I then have to reverse engineer that. And I think it's a way. So what happens is it produces the manifest and a series of directories. Now, what it means is that you have to, and those directories are on the internet, so really essentially what you have to do is put those, there is this idea of having not, I've got to work out how to download from the internet through LabVIEW. So I can upload by LabVIEW, it's just downloading, it's just a bit of a bugbear. It's going to make me, the last thing I want. But you have to download, edit something and upload. So I've got the uploading app, okay, it's the, downloading. The problem is that you want to download a specific directory, and I've just got to think about command line of how one will go about it. That's one aspect of it. That's the quality control, getting people hooked up with the quality control, but also the access. At the moment, the quizzes are just splattering into a podcast, higgledy-piggledy. But I think it's got some real advantage that if you have the app, so that's really a cab off the rank, the app. There's a whole series of things to try and get right. So this app is a mobile phone app. It'll essentially have all the quizzes there. It's just, how do you organize intellectually the quizzes, and having buttons on the app which corresponds to the different variety of things out there. And I'm going to have to really really think, so you can make it work really quickly, but this is, it's like carrying in, you try your very best when you're developing it, but you sort of develop names for things which are things that you use at the time, but you're stuck with that. You can be stuck with these long file names, you just have to know what they are. There's no logical or higher logic. So it's with all development of the software, trying to actually think far enough ahead to build its upgrade in ahead of time. Now, I'm having the advantage that I'm doing some basic things correct, which is the building modules with an input and an output, standardized input and output, so I can just put those modules one after the other, or take them out and reconfigure them, or I can actually build something which reroutes to another module, like reroutes it like a train to another line for a short distance and backs to the main track, and then I can check it's okay, and then I can blow up the old track when the new track is up and running and verified. Or if the new track has a problem with it, I can always reverse engineer. It just means that you can only do so much without having, I suppose, to really go back and rewrite them. So fortunately, I haven't had to do anything like that. So the next series of things is a series of initiatives that's going to take a long, hard way to do it. One is to get new people interested in it, using it, and trying to break up people who are happy producing content or happy actually gathering content and actually vocalizing the content. Sound out people in those two groups and get them to working together as a community. Then there's the scientists or reviewers, and to get a system of reviewing there. That's really very much by Google Forms, as far as I can see. The WebPHP forms, if you don't have someone dedicated to it, looking at it, those forms are going to lead to frustration. Like when you have a web feedback form, if you don't have someone at the other side, you put your feedback in and nothing happens, that's going to lead to frustration. So I think Google Forms is definitely the way to do it. So we've got the production, the quality control, and the dissemination, so it can be actually done. You can, rather than go through your podcast, go through a website to pick all this up. Yeah, it's trying to understand what's going on. And there we go. The motivation for these quizzes is that there is insight as a scientist which is beyond what's taught in school. So when you first start up a quiz, you have got this mind that I really want to re-steer everyone into this advanced insight. Now, the problem I can see is that people don't know the incorrect insight in the first place. It's a complex thing. So, for example, the shape of electrons, which electron configuration is one thing I've done. But also simple things like DC circuits. Majority of people don't know that the AC battery, so the AC little DC AA battery, the electrons physically turn into a hydrogen, go through the circuit and leave the battery in the form of hydrogen gas. They physically don't don't know that. And so they don't know that. That's something that you automatically have this huge urge to say, or the formulation of electric circuits is to do more with controlling where the electric field goes than the current. You've got to really watch the electric field build up, then you can actually understand what's going on, or the back EMF, or how you model the battery. These are all fairly things that if you get right, you don't do stupid things, and you can understand what's going on. And in a sense, it's something that you want to get into the kid or into the people first day. Then there's not so much a mystery of people learning to a certain grade, realizing that it's not good enough, and unlearning it. So there's that probably a problem of trying to do too much at once. So I want to try and produce a quiz or two quizzes a day. I think I'll be up to that. That's 10 questions. That's a fair amount of work. Pushing it at the most. So there's three development areas. This is the people producing the quiz, quality control the quiz, and access to the quiz. So there's three development areas. Probably the access is something I'll do next, because it doesn't hurt. I can put the access portal down in the blog, so the blog and podcast can allow you to go in and get it. But I've also have to just get practice producing quizzes and getting on top of content to see what's going on. Now, I've sort of learnt my lesson to there's people in the field, and I've just alerted, I like a chat with you, and they've alerted their marketing people, and they will get back to me when and where they want to. But that's going to be a long, long haul before, yeah, who knows. And a marketing person will not have the, they will have an understanding bespoke to the actual, look, I know full well in advance that a marketing person is programmed to come up with sufficient correct answers and develop. They're really pushing their own answers. There's no innovation. So how to steer those people is a difficult thing. So I'm now walking back. It is very interesting in terms of the actual the layers of software development strategy, the layers of skill development, that is, I myself have been skilled at producing quizzes, and the other strategic environment of people not having a willful disinterest of new things coming along, because they want the status. This is not people in general. This is the school system in general. Does not want anything new produced. They have charted up for a particular thing to happen, to a certain person to walk through the door, who will agree with them and produce things the way they want. So there's this. You have to get into their mindset. When someone's not doing that, they have to. There's this. Sort of slanting of the floor, such as you fall out the window, and it's very subtle, or sometimes not too subtle. And the more that you can work your way to not to fall out, the more complicated mechanisms are exposed. So it's really a bit of a fight against time to see whether I can actually get this up and going independently and find it, take it to ignition points. There's very much in research or laser physics or many things, when you're getting equipment together and they're not, so get your equipment together, it's not at all tuned. And when you basically get very tuned, you get the weakest signal ever. And from that weak signal, it's generally, overall, it's rule of thumb, it's about 2 weeks before you're actually up to an optimum and you've actually identified the problem. So you need that weak signal to get going. And I call that striking. That's a word that I have. And I look at data coming in and I can see strike points where things outside of my control have happened, and so there's a certain amount of interest to get across. So I suppose the only other thing to say is that from my interest background in automation and mechanization, it is called mechanized warfare, and the people who have talked about organization and mechanization have been in the military, but obviously there's no one who's going to get hurt and there's no territories going to be taken. But the same principles apply of understanding the strengths and the impact and the demands of a mechanized system. So obviously no one now thinks of just purely infantry going past. They think infantry is important, but that tanks can operate in a particular way. So you've got a command system, a supply system, supply to get out the fuel, command and control. And the same thing is here. This has got a different dynamic from the education that we've been standardly used to. It's the education we're standard used to has had a command control system, and things go back a long distance into organizations. This has the ability to have a lot more producing and a lot more people engaging with targets and producing small quality improvements to go with it. That is, that a quiz of 10 questions, the actual structuring of the questions can go past, or people's need for explanations go up, and you can start to predict and analyze what the quality system is going ahead. But so you can have quiz can go out to say 100 people. Three of them might be professors, leading the skills. They'll say that, well, that's not the best question for these. That's not the best answer. It's confusing for these reasons. So the answer number, that question number 3, can go back, and you can just re-record the answer, improve it, and start to produce documentation with them. That's something which I think I will do pretty much tomorrow. It's the start of starting to put documentation in with the files. But the very first one is the class test. So every time it produces it, it randomizes it. So people, if anyone, there's been a few people digging around. So what happens when I hang out a shingle, when I say, oh, this is ready for podcasting, I give it a tag, which is picked up by the podcast engines, the podcast feeds. That's the Dr. Hill Teach one. But there are other people who've become a bit impatient and begun digging around actually in the actual source block. They've written their own feeds for it. I don't know exactly what they're doing. But they will notice that if they, there'll be a, so at the moment, which is sort of a internet disaster for me. So I've got a quiz up. I'll put up, say, 6 quizzes. Now, previously, I could catch a quiz before it was sent to the internet. And now what happens is it sends it to the internet immediately. The actual quiz structure to the internet, and then starts uploading afterwards. It means that you can actually, the upload is now instantaneously, because it really doesn't matter. You've done your work, and the upload can take the next hour, 3 hours, whatever it is, to slowly crawl and pump, you know, hundreds of megabytes of different quality of files, sound files up. But those people who go in and look at the different quizzes, each quiz has got a different structure. It's randomized each time. But for this, there's the class quiz, and I'll produce a PDF file. I want to produce a PDF. I'll just produce a web page and print it off. That's what everyone else does. Which will be the answers to the class test, that particular class test. So you can, if you sort of run out of time, you can just hand that out and say, look, mark it yourself. So it's trying to adapt to the different structures. And the I suppose the important thing is that you can have people do activities, and when they finish, say people have finished, you don't have to have the entire class do the test. they can put on earphones as a group and start to do the test. So I'm just looking at the flexibility to come up there. So there's all these layer upon layer of strategic understanding, but really there's like the highest level of a strategic understanding is that the idea of mechanization beyond the actual mechanical thing, the program, to look at the society. So there's a there is really a fundamental, I've been into automation, there is a fundamental difference between automating factories is pretty similar to it, because you've got the people, you've got to get the people coming in and sitting at the right time and working together with the mechanization. Say if you're just automating your home or something like that, there's not such a, that's another end of the spectrum, or you're automating something for a hobby, that's all an experiment, that's one thing. There is that, I really don't want to say too much about infantry and all that type of stuff, but the mechanization of an organization, well, I suppose it's basically an infantry thing, you've got to actually get the fuel, you've got to check everything's working functionally, you've got to pull things back, inspect them all the time, you've got to have the training, you've got to get everything out, and when it's out in operations, you've got to have, so you put on motorcycles or whatever it is, and before you know it, they're 50 kilometres away, and so there's no point if you don't have a radio communication which stretches that far, that you may as well just say goodbye to them, or you can't resupply them. So you have to have everything mechanized. It's mechanized, even things you wouldn't think of. So mechanized food delivery and things like this. It's a pretty amazing thing. And to have your mechanized command control, and also have reconnaissance to go ahead. So this is very much a similar thing in terms of this mechanization, but is also training the people up, identifying the people up, and giving them a limited thing. So similarly in mechanization, you don't want to train every person, every aspect of mechanization. You want to train them in the area they are going to use. So if they can produce content, and I think I've done that, is to mechanize content or to mechanize the quizzes, mechanical quiz, there is a way of producing it. And there's a whole, it's not just coming out and training, you have to learn and plan the training. So I'm at that stage. So I don't know how many months off and who to ask to get the strike. And unfortunately, I'm sort of out of the system of actually finding the right person to ask. I don't know. It's just will require a lot of investment of time and quietly listening and working with people. Thanks for listening. That's the end of this podcast. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.